Thank you to the sponsor of today's podcast, Call of Dragons. Call of Dragons is an original, immersive, and epic fantasy world. Taking place in the world known as Tamaris, team up with the elves, orcs, celestials, goblins, and countless other magical creatures to build your vast army. Dive into your own fantasy city with unique decor for each faction. Arrange your city as you see fit, and build the unique fantasy metropolis of your dreams. Once you leave the safety of your own city, prepare for battle alongside your scary but friendly behemoth. Command your behemoth to aid you in battle with a variety of epic behemoths are scattered across Tamaris. Powerful giant bears, venomous hydras, lightning-fast thunder rocks, and terrifying flame dragons. Work together with your alliance to defeat them and bring them under your command, then unleash them in battle. And please don't forget to name them. Train up your heroes with unique skills that can turn the tide of battle in an instant. Unleash powerful abilities to wipe out your opponents with a huge array of equipable magical artifacts, each with their own unique skills. Turn invisible, move at astounding speed, teleport or heal your units in an instant. Equip your heroes with an artifact that suits their abilities and unleash artifact skills to dominate the battlefield. Call of Dragons has true 3D terrain that shapes the gameplay. Tamaris is a land of mountains, rivers, valleys, tundra, and countless other features. Not only is it beautiful, it's also essential to use your terrain to your advantage. Build your city on a plateau to make yourself impervious to attack. Set up an ambush in a mountain valley to wipe out enemy forces, or occupy the high ground and cut all would-be invaders down to size. And that's just scratching the surface. In Call of Dragons, combat isn't just a matter of numbers. With the right strategy, you can turn any situation to your advantage. All these features come together to create an incredible fantasy battle experience that allows you to wage war your way. So, if you're ready to jump into the fantasy world of Tamaris, download Call of Dragons today on PC or mobile by using my link in the description.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Up on the desk and you run the cord through your finger over and over again.
What?
Wait, what? To explain more?
No, that's like an old 70s, 80s scene. You see
the telephone. Dude, people would... There are things that people do in movies that are so... that make them things seem so romantic and beautiful, and one of the things was a teenage girl talking on a corded phone and twirling the cord in these ways that made it feel delicious, but it was just an action.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Did you ever do it? It was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, actually, yeah, where you would like twirl the little coils around your finger and you would like make a little, you make a little robo finger.
Yeah. Gen Z will never understand what it's like to have that.
Kids will never experience that. There's probably so many little joys over the ages of man that we've never had.
Yeah, like planting beets or
getting beaten.
Harvesting beets. Preserving the beets, turning them into other
things.
Being
beaten with beets in the field.
Being German suplexed by your grain lord.
Plex me, grain daddy.
Not enough beets or grain for me. You gotta get suplexed into the grain, and then you go into it.
Yeah, just, you know, classic joys that Generation Z will never get.
Or us.
Or, well, no. I mean, you know, well, depending on...
The apocalypse might happen. We might all become beet farmers again.
Beet feudalism may return.
Yeah.
A tasty beet in exchange for feudalism seems pretty good.
And wrestling still exists? Cool.
Yeah.
Wrestling exists and it happens to me?
I'm a part of the show now?
Whoa. I am like The Rock.
Hopefully not.
No, I hope you not too. The Rock's just sucking it up more and more recently.
What a guy that was good and apparently is bad.
What I'm gathering is you guys are watching the wrestling on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I have not.
No, what are you talking about?
They changed, Chad.
But we don't.
WWE's on Paramount Plus now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that app that never works? I gotta balance out the plug for Paramount Plus to mention it's a horrible app.
It does suck.
It was feeling too much like a plug because I also haven't watched it either, so this part's probably getting cut. So
it sucks. Yo, I'll tell you this. You're like, it seems like a plug, and maybe it is. And I want you to, if you're listening to this, if someone is listening to this, do not pay for Paramount Plus. But here's a way to get it for free. Simply sign up and then cancel, and they will keep giving it to you for like 6 months.
Yeah.
But just make sure you cancel it at the end of it. Don't give them money.
That happened to me.
You can really strong arm Paramount. They're desperate.
I think P plus like got some self esteem because I don't think that trick works anymore, Paul.
Damn, I did. I mean, I didn't do it too long ago. I did it the last time that we needed to watch something on there.
Was it to watch Star Trek Prodigy? Because that's what I did. I signed up to watch my own show, and then
they didn't even give you an account.
Like, oh, dude. I have never gotten a free account for any. I have written shows for Netflix, for Hulu, for Max, for Paramount. They never give a
you don't
free
want
preview.
It. Chad, it's you don't insane. Want it because they'll take money off of your paycheck. Just to-
well, that's what they would say. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, we gotta assume you're taking it.
Well, we're giving you infinite Netflix, so I guess we are going to pay you $1.
Oh, you got free Paramount Plus? Enter the beat arena now. You will be beaten with beats.
Versus Patrick Stewart. We've kept him alive, and he's the beat lord.
Beat Lord Stewart.
Do you guys know that part that, like, according to that awful season of Star Trek Picard, I think I'm allowed to smack talk other seasons of Star Trek.
Sure.
That awful season of Star Trek Picard, Picard is now immortal and can't die.
Oh, no.
Or he is, but he'll die of old age now, but he's an android. And you're like, don't worry about it. Don't think about how he's old.
So you can't. You can't beat the shit out of Picard. You just have to wait. You just have to, like...
I mean, you could do... If it's Picard First Contact, like, where he was an action hero, yeah, you can beat the shit out of him.
Okay, but according to Picard, the only way to defeat him is just to kind of wait around in a universe where time travel is very common.
Yeah, it was like, we made you a robot, but don't worry, don't question if we took away your humanity, you'll still age and... deteriorate, I think, at some point.
We took away your humanity, but we gave you the worst parts of it. Don't worry.
Yeah, you're still going to have trouble with your bowels and arthritis and everything. But you're a robot. Is that cool? Beep boop.
Yeah, I mean, sounds a little bit, you know, closer to I have no mouth and I must scream, but, you know, whatever.
Would either of you guys, if you could convert to any form of android robot, synthetic form, would you?
Yeah, because, like, here's the thing. It's really hard to tell if death is any good, because we simply do not...
You don't know until you get to it.
Yeah. We simply do not have any data. It's probably nothing, but...
But it could be a cool party.
Wait, hold on. I want to pull us back from some deep existential conversation to go into, would you give yourselves robot hands if you
yes.
give yourself robot
yes,
hands?
Yes, clearly, obviously yeah. I would give myself robot hands, because that's like, it's like a hand that you can't burn on a stove.
You can just reach in and take those cookies right out.
Yeah. It's like an oven mitt you never have to take off.
I could build furniture with my hands and not need tools.
Yeah. Oh, you want, like, yeah, Paul, you would definitely have that, like, go-go gadget hand.
Without a doubt. Multi-tool hand.
I just pictured Paul, like, building a table out of a, like, by pounding nails into wood by slapping the shit out of them. Just not like having a go-go gadget hand, just having, like, a Kinex hand and slapping.
Specifically Kinex, you can just see all the bolts.
You guys come over and I welcome you into my home with my beautiful, elaborate hands, and everything is just chunky pieces of wood horribly smashed together with nails, filling the entire space. Look at the wonders.
You'd be so satisfied with yourself. You'd be so happy for yourself. And we would be too.
Look at the wonders I have wrought with this technology.
Now, would you rather have a Kinex hand or a Lego Technic hand? I feel like Lego Technic hand would be like the Cadillac. Like,
does Lego see?
Does Kinex rust? I'm worried about rust.
No, they're plastic. They're plastic, Chad.
Oh no, I was thinking of You're thinking what was the other version? Erector. Right?
Erector set. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Boomer's Kinex.
It's like the spider robot from Toy Story.
Yeah, or yeah, that Will
Sid,
Smith movie.
Sid made the thing out of Erector for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to look. I've used Kinex recently. I haven't used a. I don't think I ever had Lego Technic, but
Lego Technic's kind of like Bionicle.
Okay, all right.
It's got like the ball and socket joints.
Is there a deep lore? Is there a deep lore to Lego Technic like Bionicle?
No. Okay. Lego Technic is lore agnostic. At least I hope so.
Seemingly, Lego Technic is going to look sleeker. If you have Kinex hands, you're basically a clown robot.
Yeah, there's really no way. Like, you could put some silver spray paint on it, but even
it's
just
still,
like the yeah,
you'll know.
It looks a little too Party City.
Yeah, you would know.
I put my brain in a jar. I do that.
Oh, why? Yeah. That's tiptoeing into vampire territory, Chad. And I don't know if I want to be. You know?
True, and I know I don't want to be a vampire or a money vampire. We talk about a lot.
No.
Money vampires.
Brain's like the worst part too.
Well, I mean, I figure with the brain, I can still be like, hey, I want to feel like I'm hungry, right? I want to be, I'm ciphering the matrix, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as long as I think I'm eating steak, that's fine. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Yeah. The ignorance is
tickle me, please. Tickle me, please. Oh, look, my endorphins are going off. Ha-ha.
That's true. You would get you could go anywhere then.
Yeah. What do you need? Yeah. Also, you could mail me anywhere, put me in a box and some packing tape and just like, let me go off somewhere.
I mean, I don't trust technology to be able to do that. Like, technology can't interface with the printer correctly. I don't think it could interface with the human brain.
What about RoboCop? What about where you're mostly dead?
Okay.
There's a little bit of human left. You got a cool chin and a brain. And some lungs, and that's it.
And you're the tool of the state?
Okay, well, no, you gotta... Oh, fuck, you're right. Okay, RoboCop that goes rogue.
Paul, I'm gonna spoil it for you. We're already tools of the state.
No!
Damn.
We're complicit.
Put Paul over the shot from the RoboCop remake of just realizing how fucked up his body is, going, no!
When he's out in that field for some reason.
No, there's like the only good part of the remake where they're like, show me what's left of being human. And they like, they pull apart all the RoboCop spots away and it's just like lungs and a head.
Oh.
And you start screaming.
Oh boy.
Did you guys ever play the Adam Jensen Deus Ex games?
Which ones were those?
Kevin.
Those ones were the very yellow ones.
Oh, no, I didn't play. I only played the first one.
The first Deus Ex.
There's a yellow filter over everything.
He's right though, because the first Deus Ex is purple.
The first Deus Ex is blue.
It's blue.
Well,
it's like
okay.
The Cornetto trilogy.
Right,
you got a color tied to it. Yeah.
Here's where I'm going off of. This is my memory is just going off of the cover of it, which it's that's purple E, but I see what you're saying. It is also blue.
That's blue. But you're right. I played Human Revolution, which was just a thin layer of piss yellow over everything.
Yeah, and it was great. But it is like it is RoboCop. Like I've never seen RoboCop because again, I've only seen six movies.
I know, but that should be one of them.
You really should watch RoboCop. If you watch Rocky, you should watch RoboCop, which is the.
I don't think RoboCop is going to be as heartwarming as Rocky is.
You would be surprised.
Listen, RoboCop is about Jesus, and it's great.
It's about it's about remembering who your family is. It's about watching rich guys get blown up with squibs. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, and then one guy got hit in the nuts while it was happening in real life.
Wait, I didn't know that. Wait, one of the squibs
hit
him
first
in the nuts?
Yeah, the first guy that Ed 209 kills, his squibs were hitting so hard that one got him right in the bean balls.
Nothing against you guys, but I kind of associate RoboCop with insufferable older kids.
Well, you should. No, that makes sense. No, he's right. He's right. Because my older cousin loved RoboCop. And I was scared of RoboCop as a kid. But because it was so violent and it freaked me out. And I was like hyper violent. But then I got older and I started to start like peering into that space because I was like, oh, it's not scary, actually, because I realize now that this is all fake and I'm able to separate my brain in that way. And then when I encountered that movie, I was like, this movie is hilarious. It is a extreme dark comedy, and it is extremely prescient about America now. It was really ahead of its time.
There's a large amount of people who probably also when we were young, or that generation of older people when they were young, where it was like, yeah, he's just a cool cop with a gun. And he's a robot. He's a cyborg. Like, not like kind of what Starship Troopers also tried to do. Where like, don't worry about it. It's don't even think about the satire. It's just a fun action movie
that
was marketed.
It was also like heavily marketed towards younger kids.
Yeah, there was
a
cartoon. Like, and toys.
That whole era of like Alien being marketed that way, and I feel like there's just a bunch of 80s R movies the kids should not have seen.
Yeah, can Predator.
You imagine if we did can you imagine if we did that now where like, I don't know, kids are playing with like Hereditary toys?
Well, instead we just kind of have the four quadrant idea, Chad.
How dare you say that four quadrant.
We just give them Call of Duty and we say, prepare for war, children.
Yeah. I had like two of my cousins' kids came over. They're like 8 and 11 last week, and I hadn't talked to them in years, and I learned a lot of cool lingo that all the kids are saying. Kids love to say break your ankles, apparently.
That's a basketball one.
I mean, I knew that term before, but I was like, you guys are really saying it, like, I'm breaking your ankles. And they're just playing Call of Duty.
Oh, they're overusing it. That doesn't even make any sense in Call of Duty.
Yeah, or even we're playing Smash Brothers. Like, I'm breaking your ankles. Like, no, you're not.
That's not what that means. Do you understand the genesis of that phrase?
Yeah, and they called something mid. I was like, that's not mid. And they're like, they lost. It's like, I'm mid. And I'm like, no, you're not mid. You are a good boy. Don't ever qualify yourself.
I am mid and I am free, as I will quote the meme that Kevin loves to post.
So yeah, I am cringe and I am free.
I'm mid and I'm free is also one.
Oh, I like that too.
Kevin, the break your ankles, if you don't know, is from basketball. It's from when you it's from when you cross over on somebody so hard.
I think I picked it up from context.
you cross them over so good and so hard that they fall over like a big dumb idiot,
and their ankles shatter, and they're never allowed to play basketball ever again.
Even if they heal up, they're banned.
Yeah, well, it's like a racehorse where after they've broken one leg,
they're like, race again. Yeah, we don't. Your soul has been broken, basketball player. You're welcome, Kevin.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to Goosebuds.
Hello.
Hi, I'm one of your hosts, Chad Quant.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Kevin.
I'm just Chad. I regret giving my full Christian name to you all. Normally on the podcast, we read YA books, including the works of R.L. Stein. We're doing something kind of like that today. We are reading a book by R.L. Stein, but we're reading a Choose Your Own Adventure book, but not a Give Yourself Goosebumps.
Ooh.
We are reading from the mid-80s, an early R.L. Stein game book you can play again and again, The Badlands of Hark.
Yay.
I'm going to go into this with an open mind, Chad, but I'm still mad at RL for stuff he's done to us.
Oh, we are recovering very much from the last couple episodes, if you haven't listened.
If you're new or you haven't listened to episodes recently, there has been a bit of a roller coaster happening here. we read a Horrorland, which is a series within the Goosebumps series, a Horrorland book so bad it nearly drove us to the point of nihilistic rage quitting this entire project. We shall carry on. Prior to that, we read a Choose Your Own Adventure book that was a Zork, the old Infocom game. Infocom?
What Do I Do Now book, I believe.
What do I do now? I would say we enjoyed, right? We all enjoyed that one.
Chad didn't like the names.
Oh, that's right.
I got a little bogged down in the names that were also just ripped straight from Tolkien. I think it was what was like,
oh yeah,
the House of Elrond and Aragorn's blade kind of thing.
That's a fair critique, I would say. But what we're excited about today is we are at a definitive nadir with our feelings towards Mr. Stein. And we'll be able to compare his What Do I Do Now book with the previous What Do I Do Now book that we read.
Yeah. I mean, and I sent you a link to the cover. Y'all, this is aspiring Mobius art. There's a dude who looks like a space knight riding on back of some sort of bird horse, and he's just shooting an alien deer in the gullet.
Yeah, it's like it's like an alien.
It's got like childbearing hips, though.
It definitely has them hips. It's also got it also has like a ape like front end too, where it's got both the best of both worlds, I would say. Front end and back end are stacked on this creature.
There's like three goddamn suns in the sky.
There's three suns. This actually the setting of this cover reminds me of like Book of the New Sun a little bit.
This is like Tatooine.
I can't improve upon this.
No, there's nothing. I was sitting there and I was like, maybe it could be. No, can't be plussed up.
As we normally do in these adventure books, one of us is the BM bookmaster who will read you both through the adventure. I was given this book on behalf of two listeners, much appreciated to T. Bram, Bramwise, and Brad Fuller, who sent these books. We actually, if this is good, we have the sequel book, The Invaders of Hark.
Ooh.
So this is the Badlands of Hark. But it sounds like at some point, people want to take over this place.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Maybe they're not so Badlands after all. Mm.
Do we think there'll be... This is Jovial Bob Stein before he was Jovial Bob Stein.
Right.
Do we think there are puns in this?
Certainly.
I think Robert's going to probably hit us with a couple fake outs or punchlines or whatever.
It should be interesting.
I don't know. I don't know what to think, because you know what? I'm still a little broken. I'm still a little weary. But, you know, do we know when he wrote these? Like, do we know what
they
era?
They are copyrighted as 1985.
Yeah, 1985.
Okay, so like like after Fear Street.
What? No, before Fear Street.
I thought Fear Street was 1980.
First Fear Street, 1989. So this is pre-Fear Street.
Okay, so this is before Fear Street.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready to understand RL in a whole new way through a different medium.
We've never read a full sci-fi adventure of his.
No,
we
haven't.
This should be good.
I'm ready to see. This is definitely where Chad got the name and probably the idea for his character, Hark, in our actual play role-playing podcast, Pretend Friends, which you can find on any podcasting service with a game system designed by Kevin himself.
Yeah. Pretend Friends.
I miss playing as Hark. I miss playing as my bug boy Hark.
Chad made that character up himself, and it's going to be better than this. So
his is unique because like his is legally distinct because it's two R's.
Two R's, baby.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, Hark is that. My Hark is two R's, and this is one R.
Legally distinct. You hear that?
Yeah. So don't come for us, Robert.
Though if a bug man shows up in this, we're gonna have words, RL.
I also have one more thing to say about this series. There's only two books, so too promising.
Okay.
It didn't take off too well, or other more lucrative options came up for him.
Totally.
He was like, I do this.
Well, I'm ready to give it a chance.
Into the Badlands.
Into the Badlands. Do you guys think, playing as one protagonist, how do you all want to divide yourselves up as two halves of the player brain?
I'm kind of feeling a food motivated character this time. Mm-hmm. Probably gonna make my choices based on what would end up in a tasty situation for myself.
Okay. In honor of Chad's character Hark, I am going to
be mother oriented.
Sell mother and person into places.
Whatever choices I have, I will they will be based upon hopefully advancing the interest of bug kind.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Food brain, bug brain.
Similar. I think in my very first adventure as Hark, I think I tried to eat little Kiefer Sutherland, I think.
You did. You were slurping on stuff all the time.
Do we want to hear... There's an extensive rules page.
Yeah.
Is that interesting to you?
I love rules.
Extensive rules. Okay.
The object of this game is to find the priceless treasure of Hark. The treasure is hidden somewhere in the notorious Badlands of the planet. Your plan is to search the burned hills and black caverns of Hark until you find it. But can you survive the deadly terrain and hostile alien life forms? Read these rules before you begin your treacherous journey.
Okay.
Chad sent us the picture of the map from the front of it too, and I like it. There's a little verve to this imagery here.
I'm already having a little bit of fun.
Me too.
Yeah. We got the hills of Xur, the petrified animal preserve, which is like, so they're just stone animals, I guess?
Forbidden marshlands and stone castle, lots of stones and hills. It's got a little bit of little dwarven.
I think John Carter of Mars stole from this book.
Mm.
Rule number one: there's only one correct path through the Badlands.
Oh, boy.
Unless you have incredible beginner's luck, be prepared to make many attempts to find the treasure. In your attempts, you'll most likely make many wrong moves, take several wrong turns, and meet a variety of gruesome ends. One wrong choice and the game is over. Go back to the beginning and start your journey again.
Yes, so, we will totally do that. Yes.
We normally have three lives. We can see if you all want more or less than that.
I feel like we're going to need those lives, Chad.
Me too.
I think this is the first time we've ever seen one where there's only one correct path. Usually there's two or three, right? The game is divided into 250 sections. Each section numbered at the top. Begin your journey through the Badlands with section one. Okay, this is just describing how you choose and move.
Okay.
Rule number three. If you move well through the Badlands, you will be awarded a points. The points will be awarded at the beginning or at the end of a section. Okay. Points are awarded for endurance, survival skills, and smart thinking under fire. Keep a score sheet and write down a running total of your points.
Okay, endurance, survival, and
smart thinking.
Smarties.
Smarties.
Kevin, are you doing the tabulation for us?
Yeah, I'll tabulate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, so we got endurance, survival, and smart.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go into individual categories. It seems like it's more total points. Okay. 0 to 250 points, you're a tourist. 250 to 400, you are an amateur adventurer. 400 to 800 points, you're an explorer. And 800 or more points, you're a conqueror.
I like the tourist as a category because it gives me net hack vibes.
I thought Discworld, two flower vibes.
Yep.
Keep in mind that even if you are tallying up a high point score, you may be far away from reaching the treasure you seek.
I think becoming a tourist and being two flower level would be actually a great achievement too.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Rule number four, throughout your journey, you'll come upon signs and scrolls, weapons and other items. Some of these should be read carefully and heeded. Some should be ignored. Some of the weapons and other devices you come upon are important to pick up and take along with you. Some are best left untouched.
Oh boy.
Rule five. The most deadly and difficult part of the Badlands is a complex maze, a hidden maze which does not appear on the map and from which few have ever escaped. If you are unlucky enough to find yourself trapped in the maze, try keeping track of each move you make. This may prevent you from making the same moves over and over, becoming trapped in the maze forever.
I want to get into that maze because I want to see how that's handled in this book. Something tells me it's not as intricate as he's making
it. I wonder
if
it's going to be like four paragraphs of turn left, turn right, go back to section 82.
Yeah, I'm interested to find that.
There is one correct path out of the maze. If you are skilled and lucky enough to find it, you'll be awarded 250 points and allowed to continue your quest.
Holy shit, that's like a lot, right?
Instant tourism, yeah.
And if you are the thorough type, rule number six, you may wish to explore one area of the Badlands at a time. Use the map to help you keep track of where you have been and where you are going.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready, bug food brain man?
Yeah, food bugs.
The three Harkian suns float high in the sky. You stand at the beginning of a dirt path that leads east and west. In both directions, parched brown hills stretch to the horizons. You cast away your laser-resistant armor and helmet. You should probably hold on to that. This steaming planet is too hot for such protection.
Ah.
You leave your rocket rover behind, too.
What? Why are we getting rid of the cool stuff?
You will not need these things here. The terrain of the Badlands is far too unpredictable for that powerful vehicle. Beyond the don't even tell me we had it. Beyond the hills to the west lie the forbidden marshlands, hundreds of miles of treacherous swamp. To the east stand the mysterious hills of Zir. There are hundreds of caves carved into these hills, connected by a labyrinth of tunnels. Will you go to the east, or go to the west, or wait to see if anything interesting happens right where you're standing?
So we can only choose east or west.
Or can sit and wait.
Or we can sit and wait. I feel like, all right, so the eastern path ends up in the village of Quan.
Yeah, it does.
Where they probably have a Domino's or some kind of regional pizza establishment.
There's at least some sort of fete occurring there, for sure.
Yeah, I just want to make sure the picture is not reversed. To me, the village of Quan is to the west.
Sorry, that is to the west.
Okay.
I'm just bad at directions.
Okay, just want to make sure.
All right, so to the west, there's the village of Quan, and maybe pizza. Now, there's a deserted stone castle over to the east.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the food scene's like there, but there could be a bug.
Well, and you know, so my thinking was going to be, I'm sure marshlands, plenty of bugs. The hills of Zir, though, and the caves of Zir, bugs love to live underground. Now, that is their dominion, and as such, they probably don't need much help there. So I would actually be down to go to the Forbidden Marshlands and maybe proselytize to some of the non-bug denizens of those marshes and begin to encourage more bug acceptance and eventually bug overlords.
You're going to the Forbidden Marshlands thinking there's not going to be as many bugs as underground?
I don't think as many as underground now.
Well, we got to see if there are bugs in the marshlands now, because I think there are bugs.
I think there are. I just don't think there's as many. I think they could use a little hand over there.
Let's go Forbidden Marshlands.
Also, you probably, as your bug brain, you're probably drawn to the marshes a bit.
Yeah, or deep underground in the cold, cold dirt.
Yeah, and maybe I could go for a sip.
And, hey, maybe there's dominoes.
Hey. You never know.
So we're going west?
To dominoes.
We're going west.
Yeah. This podcast not brought to you by that pizza chain.
There will at least be a Little Caesars.
Ooh. You begin walking toward the west, following the narrow path carved out of the hard yellow ground. The three sons of Hark are high in the sky. It is the hottest time of day. Stop for a drink of water or keep walking west? There's a lot of options. There's a lot of choices in this.
Oh, you know I'm taking a sip.
Yeah, I'm supping.
You can't walk a long way without a little sip of marsh water.
Well, it's like you don't know it's marsh water yet. Not to be a real BM about this. I feel like your canteen of water was not marsh.
I would hope that it would be some fresh moving water.
I mean, stop for a drink of water. I guess like I just assumed it was a canteen you had, but maybe it is. Maybe it is how you just lap it out of the ground.
I picture me bending like a Lego man at the hips and just going face down into some marsh water.
Like those little dinky, like little birds that just drop the water over and over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, just slamming my face into what, like the marsh that Frodo saw those dead kings in.
Oh, God.
All right, so we're taking some water?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You should never stop moving when you're in open terrain in the Badlands.
God,
by stopping here to take a drink from your supply kit, you have made yourself an easy target for the Harkian Elephant Hawk.
Oh.
Elephant-sized bird swoops down and lands on your head. It just wants to play, but unfortunately, you're no longer in any condition to join in the game. Game over. First death already.
He was not. This is Dark Souls hard. Okay.
You want to save state back to where you were and keep going west?
Yep.
We won't drink the water.
We won't take a drink. I guess this is before we learned the importance of hydration.
That was a trick, you dumbs. You shouldn't have tried to stay hydrated.
Oh, Robert.
Yeah, Kevin, remember who we're dealing with here.
A real sociopath. All right. You decide to go west? Give yourself 50 points.
Oh.
You know it is unwise to stop when you are out in the open on this dangerous planet. You keep walking west, ignoring the heat and your thirst.
Wait.
The path. Yeah.
When you say give yourself 50 points,
yeah.
Do we mean stat points or just points in general?
No, just points. Just those points that we're totaling, the ones that make you a tourist or a conqueror.
Okay, yeah. Points for walking. Got it.
Yeah, walking points. Just a couple walking around points, Kevin.
Yeah,
I'd say they're like Harkian, knowledge points.
Oh.
Survival points, right?
HKP, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You keep walking west, ignoring the heat and your thirst. The path curves to the northeast and you follow it, your eyes alert to any danger. Turn to page 55.
Mm. It just doesn't seem smart to ignore our thirst. I mean,
I agree. That was.
Can we go back to the page and take another sip just to see what happens?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you know what? This time, you drink marsh water and it gives you +3 jump.
Yeah.
You drink Entwash and you're suddenly stronger.
Yep, writing it down.
You're going to go back to the Shire and kick everyone's ass.
That does happen in the book, just so you know. They come back and they're like, what the hell happened to you guys?
Yeah. War.
The hard ground begins to soften in spots. Small pools of water from some mysterious underground source break through the dry dirt.
I drink the water.
I was just going to say, Kevin, I was about to jump on that. I checked the water for bugs.
There are no bugs. There are no bugs.
My kind.
In the distance, you can see spots of green vegetation. You are approaching the Forbidden Marshlands.
Ooh.
Page 90.
Okay. It took us from 55 to 90 just for that?
Yeah. Oh, dude, these pages are paragraphs. These are like little micro choices in an interesting way.
Okay.
The path, I actually kind of like how much he's throwing choices your way compared to most of the games of Goosebumps.
Very fair.
The path branches in two directions at this point. One path leads northwest into the desert flatlands.
The other path continues northeast into the Forbidden Marshlands. Ooh. Go northwest into the desert flatlands, go northeast into the Forbidden Marshlands, or get off the path and do some exploring right where you are.
Wow.
I kind of want to see those flatlands.
What? But that's going to take us away from the potential franchised pizza places.
I know, but there's unexplored territory, which means probably a bustling restaurant scene.
That's true. They do always set the artists show up first, then the bustling restaurant scene shows up.
It hasn't been gentrified yet.
All right, let's go.
You can get in now on the ground floor.
Yeah, let's get up there.
Bugs
all right.
No one has eaten yet are behind those flatlands.
Okay, so you've changed your mind about the marshlands and you're going to the flatlands.
You know what? Because we were punished so hard for sipping, fuck the marshlands. I see why.
Fuck water entirely, maybe. You know, yeah. Don't crave it.
No sips.
All right, going northwest into the desert flatlands. Turn to page 109. You head northwest into the desert flatlands. You travel for days without seeing a sign of life or a single bush or tree.
Whoa.
If the treasure is buried somewhere in this barren wasteland, it would take thousands of years to locate it.
Hmm.
You begin to feel discouraged, but you will not be discouraged for long. Turn to 153.
Oh,
because we're dead?
You are not discouraged for long because you are eaten by a Harkian desert weasel.
Oh, what
a surprising occurrence. Harkian desert weasels are supposed to be extinct. Game over.
Wow.
So entering the flatlands from that direction is bad.
That's good for the weasel, though.
Yeah. We thought it was an extinct species, but it looks like it's thriving.
Yeah. I mean, nature's beautiful. Okay, so that's two deaths under our belt. I have a feeling we're going to need more than three lives.
Yeah, we might have to double. We might have to go to six this time.
I guess if we're save scumming and going backwards, let's say that you keep any points that you've gotten to that point, right? Like
thank you.
You still have 50 points.
Yep.
I think based on where we're going back to, because he's assuming you want to go back into the marshlands.
Yeah.
Or you could do some exploring where you are.
Well, I don't know, Bug Paul. What do you think?
I think we continue to the marshlands and take Chad's beneficent offer of keeping our points.
Yeah, let's get wet.
Okay. 118. I've been jumping ahead to see where these all go, and every once in a while I'm like, ooh, or don't. Cool. You take the path towards the northeast and head into the Forbidden Marshlands. Tall reeds line the path, then give way to tangled vines and swamp bushes, low weeds and moss-covered trees. Small marsh creatures croak and squeal, and you smack away a large flying insect!
No!
Hey!
And then another! Two insects! The air grows hot and wet as you follow the path into these Forbidden Marshlands.
We actually, it looked like we smacked them away, but really I did a very strong high five to them. And they flew up and they were like, cool, see you later.
Neato.
Oh, but, man, I don't know if this drawing is appropriate anymore. Please
share it. We won't have to put it on the internet.
Do we meet a marsh wench?
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't know if this mustache is ever appropriate anymore.
Oh, I already know what it looks like.
Oh.
Oh boy.
You know the guy from like Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I knew
the Merciless.
I knew that was the mustache we were getting instantly as soon as you said it.
It's like a sort of Fu Manchu, but not in a flattering way. There's just an art here of an evil alien man.
I mean, this is like a Salvador Dali is what I would say.
I'm more looking at the butt abs he's got.
He does have a tiny little pair of cheeks bended over in the middle of his stomach.
Oh, he does. His abs are like those like mouse pads with boobs on them you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
that specific size and shape.
They're cylindrical.
Well, don't worry. That picture doesn't look like it's going to run into this story. It looks like it has nothing related to any of these three sections next to you.
Great.
So anyway, the path disappears as you enter unexplored territory. You cut your way through the vines and underbrush and step carefully over protruding tree roots and deep puddles of insect-filled stagnant water.
Yay!
The bugs that I desired.
A fat insect bites you on the chin. You swat at it. Too late. The bite begins to swell.
No!
You're becoming more and more bug as the time passes.
Okay,
ooh,
good. Yes.
Good.
So
nice.
I made that up. I'm sorry. You begin to wonder if you have chosen a wise direction to travel, but it is too late to turn back.
The bugs would not turn on us.
Do they recognize your bug, allegiance?
Maybe they don't know. Maybe we need to be more vocal about our bug love.
Oh, boys. Oh, boys.
Oh, no.
You have entered a gigantic maze in the marshland.
We found it.
What? Hell yeah.
Formed by tall, broken trees, tangled shrubs, and vines. There is only one correct path through this maze. If you can find it, you'll gain 250 points, and you will survive to continue your search for the treasure.
Whoa.
Kevin, we're doing it. We're beating this maze.
Dude, we found the maze.
I did not think the maze would be in the marshlands. RL, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch, RL.
Be warned, however, that many travelers before you have been trapped in the maze forever.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Maybe we can get their stuff.
To me, it sounds like the Village of Quan probably is a really desolate place, more so than we thought.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, everyone keeps getting sucked up into this maze on the way there.
Yeah.
I hope some of them share our exact shoe size.
You are in a small section of the marshland maze. There are exits to the east and the north. No other details. Go east or go north?
Oh, north. Boy.
Paul?
No, I'm with him. I'm with him. Yeah, let's do northward. So.
You can do the next one, Paul.
That was a strong answer. Okay. You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the east and the southwest. Go east or go southwest?
East, I guess.
Yeah. No, we don't do ordinal directions, all right?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. I was thinking of Kevin, I was thinking about it because I was like, that feels like the one that he would try and trick us with, because it feels the closest to going backward, you know?
Cardinals only.
Cardinal only. I'm with you on this.
Isn't the way you're supposed to like solve a maze in real life is you just stay to one side of the wall and follow?
Yeah, you keep your hand on one Well, it only works if the maze doesn't have any traps in it that you can fall in. But if you keep your hand the right side of the maze, you can just kind of trace around it.
Yeah, I guess maybe you'll die of starvation, but you'll eventually find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, eventually we all die of something.
True.
Unless you put your brain into a jar.
Well, see, if I could be in a brain jar and you put me in a little RC car, I could just live in the maze forever.
You didn't mention the RC car. No, that sounds awesome.
Well, look, I got to get around somehow. I mean,
that sounds fucking rad.
It's getting cooler.
There was like a bad guy in Ghost in the Shell manga that was just like a brain in a little box with little stub legs. Like he was a crime lord. He seemed like he had it all figured out, but then at the end he got stuck between a boat and like a dock and almost died. But like in principle, had it figured out.
But me and the tantrum. You guys remember the tantrum?
What was the tantrum?
Tantrum had like a spinning front wheel part, and like you could like break dance with it. Look it up.
I had the sidewinder. We're gonna go sideways.
Well.
Parallel park your car.
Oh, we're talking about RC cars, though. Got it.
Yeah.
Not
real cars.
Real cars should have that, though.
Yeah.
You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the north and the west. Go north or go west?
Ooh, this is a tough one. Kevin, it's your call.
Oh, man. Both are so good, but I feel like...
I hope this is an audio poison to the listener of just, and the boys pick directions for about 30 minutes.
I feel like north. I feel like a strong go north.
Kevin, I feel that way too. I feel that way too. I feel like we follow the north star. We've got to remember, we went north, east, north now.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think RL took the time to actually map this out, like when he wrote it? Do you think he like drew a map out and then described each aisle?
I think he read a highlights and saw a maze in there and said, I'll take that.
Now that sounds right.
Yeah.
This will stump all of them, he said.
What would Goofus do?
I think Goofus is more interesting than Gallant.
Goofus, there's something about that name that I like. Just keeps writing G-O-O until it clicks. You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the east and the southwest.
Okay.
Well, we can't follow our rule.
East we can.
I thought you said southeast and southwest. Is it
no,
east?
Sorry. No, just regular east and southwest.
Oh, we were going east, baby. Northeast, okay. Northeast. Wow, we've done the same thing twice in a row now.
Yeah, man.
You find yourself in another section of the maze. Thanks, RL. At some point, just be like, pick these numbers and just jump to them. There are exits to the north and the west.
Oh, boy. Should we keep the pattern alive?
True north, man.
Yeah.
Gotta go north.
North again.
I would have loved if he had put in, like, there's a skeleton there, seemingly In its last but moments, it's scrawled on the wall.
Yeah, a sour smell, or there's a...
I get it. I get what you're saying, but he doesn't want to get... He wants us to be completely lost in here. In this case, RL's lazy writing is actually working in the book's benefit.
This is RL's poison rot swamp from LPL.
Yes.
Just can't stop himself from putting these in.
There's always a poison rot swamp.
All right, you find yourself, I'm getting lost. You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the east and the southwest.
East again, baby.
Are we just looping?
I don't know, maybe, but we've done it.
Do you want me to tell you if you are or not?
Let's keep going.
You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the north and the west.
We gotta go north.
You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the east and the southwest.
I'm really feeling east on this.
You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the north and the west. Go north or go west?
Chad is angrily flipping back and forth between two pages.
No, it's fine. This is the choice you guys wanted to make.
But the funny thing is, you probably should tell us what pages it is. Because if we were reading the book ourselves, we would be seeing
sure.
it.
Sure.
You know?
Okay, so you guys have been flipping back and forth between 210 and 222 this entire time.
It felt
okay.
Safe and it felt good. It felt like a good plan.
Yeah. So currently, I think you guys are back at go east, turn to page 222, which you guys have been to several times.
Yeah.
Or go southwest, turn to page 10.
Well, I'm kind of feeling a north vibe from this room.
You can't go north.
Really?
You can go back to the other room and go north, which will take you back to where this was.
Here, I have our decision, Kevin. We are going east. We're going back to that page. Take us back there, Chad.
Yeah. Let's
all right, you want to go north. You want to go back to north. Where it was, all right, so now you're a room. There are exits to the north and the west.
Now we can do west because that's cardinal.
Yes. Go west. We'll turn your page to 244.
Kevin, I wanted to go north too.
It's what I was feeling. I don't know.
I was really snickering to myself as you boys just kept going back and forth. I was like, I wonder when they're going to pick it up. They're looping.
I thought we were being smart. I mean, we kind of were. We can't die if we keep going to the same two pages.
Dude, we're just grinding cardio points. Yeah. Like, every time we go to a new room, we're just like
your
getting
Skyrim
better.
Stats are going up so hard.
Yeah, our athletics is going up.
Did we get any walk points there?
No points have been awarded.
Ah, dang.
You guys did miss out on, I'll tell you right now, you guys did miss out on points if you had stayed off the path and looked around. The book was going to reward you for going, knowing that there's no treasure on paths, and would have given you 100 points.
Aww.
Wow, 100 points.
But all right, you were in a small section of the Marshland Maze. There are exits to the east and to the west. Go east, turn to page 20. Go west, turn to 169.
East.
I love east. I'm from the east.
Whoa.
You are too, Kevin.
Whoa.
Hey.
So is Chad. He's from that time zone.
I'm the Midwest, which is more east of the country than west.
To say that Indiana is in the West is a lie.
No, the whole Midwest is a lie. That's true. Midwest is the most third right part of the country.
It's the mid.
It's a mid. As the kids say, it's mid.
It's mid.
You are still trapped in the maze. Exits go to the north and the northeast. Go north, turn to page 46, go northeast, turn to 237.
I think we know our answer. We've been heading here. We've been fated to go this way the whole time.
Gotta go north.
Okay. I wonder if any listeners like have a special skill where they just know exactly where you are in the maze.
I don't know how, because the maze does not follow Euclidean geometry rules. You're going north and east over and over again and looping. So...
You find yourself in another section of the Marshland Maze. It was a Marshland Maze.
Okay.
There is a tunnel to the south and an exit.
A tunnel?
A tunnel to the south and an exit to the north.
An exit to the north?
I think they've all been exits.
They've been saying exits.
Yeah, they have all been exits previously. This is
the first time I've seen a tunnel. A tunnel to the south and an exit to the north.
I mean, I feel like we got to go in the tunnel, right?
Yeah, a tunnel? I was certainly always going a tunnel.
I was going to say tunnel too, man. What the fuck? We gotta channel it.
Okay. All right. Cool. You are still trapped in the maze. There is an exit to the north. No! Turn to 46.
Chad, with the smugness of a DM reading from the pre-written adventure, being like, oh, you're gonna...
Okay, so I will make this clear to you. This thing brought you right back around. The tunnel was a giant loop.
No.
The tunnel took you right back to where you were. We're either going to the tunnel or go north.
God damn it.
Can we go back through the tunnel and then go north?
Yeah.
That's fair.
So you're going north. Worst episode of the podcast ever.
I'm having a great time. I don't know. I feel like the listener is going
to
be really
engaged.
There's
a lot of time for us to riff while we're just traveling in directions.
I know, compared to Zork, where I was like, there's too many details. I can't keep track of this. I'm like, give me anything, Arl. Give me any lore. Give me any morsel of sci-fi in this, please. You find yourself in another section of the maze. There are exits to the east and the southwest. Go east, turn to 22. Go southwest, turn to 10.
We have 100. This is a page we've been to before, correct?
Do you want me to tell you?
It is. Because it's, and we have to take... Kevin, I'm sorry. We have to do it.
All right. We'll take the we'll take the southwestern egg rolls.
Kevin, he hates the cardinal directions. You can just tell.
Yeah.
It's just...
It hurts me.
I guess we'll go southwest.
All right, you're flying southwest.
You're in another.
You're in another section of the Marshland Maze. There's an exit to the southwest, and there is a large hole in the weeds to the west that you could probably squeeze through. So you could go southwest through the exit, or squeeze through the hole in the weeds.
Do we know what direction the weed hole is?
It doesn't. Oh wait. Oh yeah. There's a large hole in the weeds to the west.
To the west.
I feel like we gotta go in that weed hole, even though I know for sure we're gonna get decapitated.
Yeah, we're getting stuck.
Even though you got over your cardinal direction thing, you're right back on that horse.
Yep.
Kill us with the weeds.
Yeah.
Squeeze through the hole in the weeds.
Put us in the weed hole, Chad.
Bury us, Chad.
You are still trapped in the maze. Exits go to the north and the northeast. Go north, turn to 46. Go northeast, turn to 237.
Well, now we know all the ones we haven't tried yet, so we go northeast.
I can
northeast.
Start marking these down if you guys want. Or maybe this. Maybe you guys write down
the pages we've been to.
Numbers you've been to. This would be equivalent of you like marking the walls as you go through it.
Yeah, Kevin, do you want me to do that, or do you have it?
You could do that, Paul. I've lost some of my willpower in all this traveling.
We're right back in Dr. Maniac territory. Let's go.
But we know for a fact that we've only taken one ordinal direction, so we can try going in ordinal directions now, so that we can go northeast.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so you were on 20.
Yep.
You're now going northeast to 237.
Okay.
Writing it down. I got it.
I love this book. Like, this book has 250 sections. Two-thirds of them are, you are still trapped in the maze.
The marsh maze. The tunnel maze. I'm sure of it that there's...
Oh, yeah. There's
a maze in the tunnels that are exactly like this.
Yeah, he padded the hell out of this with these mazes.
You are still trapped in the Marshland maze.
Oh, my
There is
God.
An exit to the west. There is also a patch of low weeds to the east that you might be able to climb over.
Wait, that's different from the weed hole, right?
Yes, this is a different set of weeds.
Okay, I'll try. Let's do new weeds.
We always go to the weeds. What page is that we're headed towards, Chad?
If you're heading to the weeds, it'll be 152.
Okay, and what was the other one?
Go west to 207.
Okay, thank you.
We should have done this earlier.
What, we should... The weed hole?
No, just the mark of your territory.
Oh.
I assume you guys are pissing wherever you go. That's
yeah.
what you're doing. You climb over the weeds and find yourself in another section of the maze.
Okay.
There is an exit to the south. There is also a hole to the southwest, which appears to be some sort of tunnel.
Hole.
Go south to 184 or go into the tunnel at 164.
164.
Always weeds, always tunnel.
Anything interesting we will do.
Yeah.
Okay. You cannot tell for sure, but the tunnel seems to be curving in a circle. The exit is just up ahead. Turn to 152.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Well, the exit of the tunnel, not the maze.
You climb over the weeds and find yourself in another section of the maze.
No.
There is an exit to the south. There is also a hole to the southwest,
all right,
which appears to be some sort of tunnel. So you're in 152.
Yep.
You can go south to 184 or go into the tunnel of 164. Wait, didn't we already do this? I'm lost.
That's what we just did, was 164. So we'll go the other way. What was it? One what?
180, go south to 184.
184, okay.
I read this thing on Twitter that was like, game design really wasn't invented until 1996.
What was that? Was that GoldenEye? Which one are they talking about?
I don't know. They're just like, anything pre-1996 is just random cruelty.
I would love to know what game they thought was the Rubicon of game design.
Looking at any pre-96 game, I don't think it's one specific game.
I see, okay.
I think it's just like, that's when we figured out how to make things fun. when you play them.
Either of you guys saw, or there was an old like PC text game for Lord of the Rings that a YouTuber like Oni played on his channel years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was impressive. It was one of those like text-based ones.
Mm-hmm.
It was impressive on how much the text-based guy had put into it, where they gave every option. It wasn't just like go east, go west. It was like them as Samwise was able to kill the other like halflings in the party if they want to and put on the ring.
Oh, well, it doesn't go good if you do that.
No, it's true, but Sam with the ring on was a hell of a fighter, apparently.
Chad, I killed the food half of my brain.
Whoa.
You're not hungry anymore?
he kills me. I'm dead. Hold on. Let him roll for it. Let him roll.
Yeah, let's roll. Okay. What's the roll?
Okay. You want to kill your own food brain?
16. Yeah.
Not high enough.
Really?
You do some pretty moderate damage to your brain. You, deep down inside, you still remember loving food and the idea of food. But, like, you feel like it's a passing thing and you'd only really go for it if there's no other options anymore.
Yeah, I'd have to see, like, a Domino's or something to really get hungry again.
Yeah.
Bugs.
You become a bug at this point, the way you're just scurrying around this maze. So you're, yes. You're like one of the creatures from The Descent.
The food part of your brain is now concerned with motherhood and lifting weights.
Finding your motherhood at your mother and lifting weights. 184. You find yourself in another section of the marshland maze.
Hold on, wait. No, we didn't want to do 184. Or no, we did. Sorry.
You did.
I apologize.
No, the other one just took you into a loop right back around.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is an exit to the northwest, and there is a vine you can grab onto and use to swing yourself over the wall of bushes to the east.
What is it?
Vine bush.
What's the page for vine bush?
Go northwest to 141 or climb the vine and turn to 224.
224, vine. Baby. Fine. Fine time.
224. 224.
Fine, we miss you.
Bring it back.
I do miss vine.
It didn't live long enough to get bad.
Yeah.
No, I know. And like TikTok doesn't do any of the same stuff. Congratulations, give yourself 250 points. You have done the impossible. You have found your way out of the maze of the forbidden marshlands.
Woo!
I resuscitate my food brain.
You find yourself back on the path southeast of where the marshlands begin.
East of where the marshlands begin.
So I don't know if that means that you guys didn't do anything but just go through a maze, but you've went through a maze.
Okay. Wow. All right. The southeast would be where, yeah, where, wow. We went
where
back
we
to
start,
the start.
Where we started.
Oh, geez.
We didn't so much find our way out of the maze as we did leave the way we came in.
You left the maze at least. That's something. Others have died in there, Kevin. And also, with 250 points, this should put you now at 300 points total. You are no longer a tourist of Hark.
Yes!
What are we?
Currently, you're at the level of amateur adventurer.
Oh.
Neat.
You can now take an alien wife, if you so wish.
Whoa!
Is that what?
Maybe we do.
Yeah, it says right here, there's this long thing about Harkonian like marriage laws. It's weird that Ariel detailed all of this.
Maybe that's the real treasure of Hark. Is the wives we made along the way.
You know, Chad, we could ask you for all the details, but I'd actually prefer not to because I'd like to win my love honorably.
Yeah. You want it to become real
and
natural.
Yeah,
Well, once they see all of our jump points that we earned.
And how buggish you've become scurrying around a maze for weeks.
Yup. As we tear the old flesh off so the new flesh can grow.
All right, you're out of the maze. The path branches in two directions at this point. One path leads northwest into the desert flatlands where you guys always had a great time. Wait, you're back to where you were. The other path continues northeast into the Forbidden Marshlands.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
You can go northwest or go northeast, or you can get off the path and do some exploring right where you are, which I already told you about.
We can get free points.
Yeah, let's get the free points and explore where we are.
That's fine. You guys have earned it.
Thank you.
131, give yourself 50 points.
Boing.
You're now at 350? The Harkian treasure is most likely not to be found among any clearly marked path. You are wise to do some independent exploring. You keep the path in view and walk east toward a craggy rock formation.
Ooh.
A small pool of water stands in front of the orange rocks.
I drink it.
Give yourself time. As you approach, you see a pool of clear green water. There's a sign with some sort of writing on it posted by the side of the pool. To the right of the pool, you see something shiny lying on the ground. Finally, something's happening. Read the sign or investigate the shiny object.
Like a, I don't know, the shiny object could be a bug, so I think I would probably.
Yeah,
do that.
I mean, that's a great point. And reading's for nerds, so yeah. Let's go for the shiny object.
Okay. Go to 2:30. Dentist's favorite time, 2:30.
I love that joke. It's one of my favorite jokes.
Thank you. I say it every day. Yep. To my girlfriend, she loves it.
You set an alarm at 2:29.
Running against dentist's favorite time.
And you're like, Chad, it's 2:30 in the morning.
You gotta know, Heidi. You reach down and try to pick up the shiny object. It is a heat reflector accidentally dropped here by a wandering nomad.
Ooh.
It has been absorbing the heat of Hark's three suns for about 3 years.
Oh.
So it's a reflector, but also an absorber. When you are
Those are the same thing, obviously, reflecting and absorbing.
When you touch it, you are immediately melted. Now there are two shiny objects on the ground, the reflector and you. Game over.
What?
Damn it.
I feel like I want to take a moment to just talk about what makes a death in a game a satisfying thing versus a frustrating thing.
Please,
because
Kevin,
games.
Please.
Games are about, on some level, games are about overcoming frustration. So he's not wrong to want to bamboozle us so.
Mm-hmm.
But usually what you want to give a player, at least what I think, is a slow death where multiple things go wrong because it's more of a story. When, like, you know, you get stung by the scorpion, but you beat the scorpion, but your health keeps ticking down. So you try to make a run for it out of the cave. But then there's a troll at the cave because you didn't look left. And then, like, it's like a Rube Goldberg machine of death. So I feel like some kind of, like, health point system might.
That's basically what we're doing with our life system, right?
That's
true. Essentially giving you subs HP.
But the fiction and the fantasy is not catching up.
No. And what I was going to say was, with the slow death system, you can, in a game, if someone dies, you want them to be like, oh, I learned new valuable information and I will utilize that in my next playthrough. The only information we learn is, do not do this page. And
yeah.
We don't get any like valuable information about the world or about ourselves as a character. No,
but
we
like
just,
that makes sense because like that's kind of the only way we can interact with this game book.
Yeah, true.
All of our interaction is choosing pages, so like I get why it's this way.
There's something so somehow perfectly RL that the bulk of his sci-fi adventure book is, you're in a maze, do you go left or right, what do you do? Like, it's so just, what a prankster he is. What a guy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go back and save Scum back to the clean water and maybe read the sign?
Yeah, we'll read like nerds. Yeah,
let's read the sign and we'll see if the sign kills us.
You know
us.
What? Okay. Kevin, we were foolish. The writer wanted us to read.
Come wow.
I don't even think RL wants you to read.
Nothing means anything.
He did. He'd make compelling stories, and he would make you feel rewarded for what you're doing.
Yeah, nothing means anything. He doesn't care. His works have no meaning.
No. This sign will tell us exactly what we need to know. All right. This is an old RL. This isn't 20 teens RL that hates us. This is young, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Robert Stein. Trying to make a living, trying to pay his rent and fun. So
Viral as the day is long.
Yep.
So you're going to read the sign.
Let's do it.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to read the sign.
Give yourself 100 points.
Oh.
The sign reads, do not touch the shiny object.
Well.
Someone made that sign, but left it there. Yeah.
That's our lesson. That's our lesson right there.
You know what? Pretty good, Rob.
Readers are leaders and also not turned into reflective, also absorptive objects.
You decide to heed the sign's message. You bend down over the green water of the small pool. You could almost drink it if you wanted to, and you peer into the water. It is a shallow pool, about 8 feet deep. You think you see some sort of chest at the bottom of the pool.
Yep.
Dive into the pool and bring up the chest. Or explore the rock formation instead.
Oh, chest, baby.
Let's open our mouth and dive into the pool.
Swallow all the water.
Yeah.
You remove your swimming equipment from the supply pack and put it on. Ooh, what? I didn't know we'd do a costume change.
What?
Or that you had a supply pack.
What? We didn't. All right, sure.
You put on your skivvies and your little Speedo and your space Speedo and you're like ready to do it.
Yeah, we look like David Duchovny, but a bug.
Why David Duchovny?
You know, there's that X-Files clip where he's in the Speedo. And
it's just not where my brain went. I love it.
What do you think of when you think of a Speedo? I think of David Duchovny in that one X-Files scene.
I was thinking of the anime Free about Swimmer Boys. That's what I was thinking about.
Doesn't Burt Reynolds have a good Speedo picture?
I mean, he has one where he's wearing not a Speedo.
I thought there was... No, there is certainly. There's the one... Oh, it's Sean Connery is who I was thinking of him.
Oh,
in that,
Zardoz or whatever.
Yeah.
The Mankini
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, the Mankini is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Another burly 70s man.
just pubes sticking out of that outfit.
Yeah.
You dive into the green pool. The water is hot, almost unbearably hot.
Good.
To your surprise, the pool is quite a bit deeper than you thought. Your eyes deceived you, you fools. It's not 8 feet deep.
How dare we believe our eyes?
Turned to 205.
How dare we believe our senses? Perjures all.
You are almost down to the chest at the bottom of the pool, but your breathing equipment is not working properly. You don't know how much longer you can hold your breath. Assuming that since he didn't mention breathing equipment, I assume he means your lungs. Keep diving down to get the chest anyway, or forget the chest, go back to the surface before you drown.
I mean, we came all this way to get this chest. I feel like we should just keep going for it, right? Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Let's do it. We're getting that chest, and it's going to have something good in it.
Do you even know that the chest is what the treasure is? I mean, yeah, it's fine. Give yourself 50 points.
Yes.
Down, you plunge. Your lungs feel as if they are about to burst. You grab the handle on the chest and try to lift it. The chest is heavy for its size. It'll be a struggle to pull it to the surface. Try your best to pull it up to the surface.
Yep.
Turn to 178. Or try to pull open the lid and see if there's anything worth dragging
We're
to the
drowning
surface.
Down here. Pull it to the surface.
Wait, no, let's try and open it down here. Maybe it'll give us, like...
Maybe there's a Sonic the Hedgehog bubble of air inside of it.
Yup, yup.
Go whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, you're trying to open it underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pull at the lid with all your strength and it comes open. You peer into the dark chest. It is empty except for some sort of scroll. The water destroys the scroll. Actually, I was joking, but that's actually exactly what happens. You reach for the scroll, but it dissolves when the water pours into the chest. You will never know what it said.
Damn.
You leave the chest at the pool bottom and pull your way up to the surface. Turn to 80.
Well.
I really wanted to know what that scroll said. That really bothered me.
At least you saw a cool scroll.
It probably just said, don't steal my chest.
The sign outside of the water is a liar. Touch that thing.
It'll turn you into a cool metal object, which is what Chad's always wanted to be. You climb out of the water and remove the faulty breathing equipment. You look for your clothing and supply pack, but they're gone.
Uh-oh, looks like we'll have to stay sexy Mulder for a little while.
Is this someone's idea of a practical joke? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. A playful desert dog has carried off your supplies as a joke. Unfortunately, the joke is not funny to you. In fact, it is tragic. Under the three blazing suns of Hark, you will roast in less than 2 minutes without any protective clothing. Look, you're already starting to turn pink. Game over.
God damn it.
Well, we gave it our best shot.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't want any more lives.
We were killed by a playful dog.
Do you want to at least see what the scroll said? Or do you want to just a dog took your clothes and you're dying here in Hark?
Yeah, I want to know what the scroll said.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay, you pull chest back up to the surface, unopened, to 178. You grab the handle and pull yourself up through the water. I'm going to say for right now, this is your last life, boys.
Okay. I mean, we agree. Chad.
I mean, I was hoping we'd just like, I didn't know we were doing this in fiction, but yeah, okay, this is it.
Yeah, yeah. I think dying because of a dog took your skin, your clothes, is the worst way to die on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, RL's going to give us an honorable death.
You burst up to the surface, gasping for breath. You pull the chest onto the land and pry open the lid. Inside, you see a rolled up scroll of some kind.
And a dog that kills you.
And a friendly dog that wants to be your friend.
Oh, yeah.
So you see a scroll, but also some sort of large canvas bag.
Did that dissolve in the water,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, what the heck?
It's like Schrodinger's bag. You don't know if it was in there or not until you opened it.
Great.
Open the bag, turn to 200, or read the scroll, turn to 200.
We came here with the scroll.
We got to read the scroll first, because we learned from the whole sign debacle that you got to read shit before you do shit.
Yep.
You unroll the scroll and read the hand-lettered words on it. Look for The Badlands of Hark by R.L. Stine, available at better bookstores everywhere.
It's the only way this thing could have ended, with a Drink Your Ovaltine advertisement.
Yep.
It appears that you have wasted your time in this pool of water. Get dressed and then get back on the path.
Wait, so now we can't open the bag?
The bag disappeared. I'll grant you a rewind if you'd rather open the bag.
I don't want it. I don't want it. He showed us what this book is.
Can we just strip and have the sun kill us?
You just lie down and just let it take you.
We go find that friendly dog with a gun.
We walk into the Harkian desert flatlands and let the...
Just for listeners, just so you guys know, if you had opened the bag, it was going to be filled with bricks. Someone put them in there to weigh down the chest and keep it beneath the water. You look up in disappointment and see what is making a sound behind you. It is a Harkian wailing bear, and it is wailing because it is hungry, and it eats you. Game over. So the bag was also nothing.
Did Arl's parents, like, leave him in a monkey cage or something? Like, why is he so afraid of animal death? Like,
why does he hate fun?
Why is he afraid of any sort of success, too? That's what I want to know. There's, like, you can't even have the most moderate of success.
Arl, I know you still listen to this podcast. Like, talk to us. We are worried about you.
Rob. Come on, man. Rob.
Robert.
Come on. Robert Lawrence Stine, get on this podcast and talk to us.
I don't know if I can speak to him.
I know. I just psychologically put myself there. I just put myself mentally there. I like took myself to that place and I was like, I don't know that would go very well.
Yeah.
What if we could finally get him on the podcast, but it has to be live and in person?
Oh, boy.
I don't.
It'd be electric.
And there's a gun on the table. It would be a loaded gun on the table.
It would be electric.
All right, so you get dressed. You're back on the path. You want to go northwest, turn to 109, or northeast, turn to 118?
We're dead and done.
Chad. No, can see it through. What?
There's no seeing it through. There's a death around the next corner. We were eaten by a bear, Chad.
Chad,
what happens? You guys drowned in the water minutes ago, and this is the last dying vision of yours. This
we were killed by a shrieking bear because we looked in a bag.
Yeah, this pond, this green pond, is our Owl Creek Bridge.
Can I tell you that I tried to just scan ahead, like, well, what happened if you went, like, go northwest, turn to 109, and then he goes, cool, you're doing this, back this. I jumped three pages, and you guys were back in the maze.
Chad, what makes you hopeful about the works of R.L. Stine?
I need...
You seem to cut him some kind of wedge more than Paul and I are readily able to.
No, I think I'm the hardest on him at all. I don't know.
I don't think you are.
Chad, we're back to last episode.
Chad, you're so you're optimistic about a lot of things. Well, in certain ways.
I think you're the optimistic one.
Yeah, you're right. I am actually. In life, but in fiction, in RL's fiction, you are the optimistic one.
Somehow this plot cul-de-sac of there's a body of water, nothing in it is good. There's a metal object that melts you if you touch it. There's a chest at the bottom filled with nothing if you open it underwater. If you fill it up to the top, it's a joke. If you open the other thing in the bag, it kills you. That's like a shitty DM, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really... That's a D&D campaign I don't want to play.
Right.
Just pointing out the Zork books, like, kind of had us interacting with gods, and there's... You know, there were elves and there's trolls, and we got to kill a troll and feel, you know, powerful for a second.
Guys, I traded signed Star Trek memorabilia for these books.
The cover is cool.
We have a second one. We got to go back to Hark at some point.
The second you said that there is only one correct path.
Yeah, I kind of knew then too, Kevin. I was like, this isn't going to go well.
Yeah, and I wonder... I wonder what the lingering effects of this book will be on me.
Just particularly this book?
Yeah. Like, this is confronting my own philosophy of difficulty and frustration in game design.
Kevin, I kind of knew that you were going to get there at some point. but Kevin, it is not the same thing.
Make a maze game, Kevin. Make a cool maze game that we can all play and do better.
Oh, yeah. Make a better maze.
I don't think mazes are fun, guys.
I never really liked mazes.
What about that episode of Batman with the maze? That was a really good one. Animated series.
Or the Yu-Gi-Oh! Dungeon Dice Monsters maze.
Mazes are cool aesthetically and in theory, but not actually in practice.
No. Maybe if you're in a corn maze.
Maybe.
Yeah, good old Indiana corn maze.
At least that one's got food all over the place.
I mean, guys, I'm looking at, like, the invaders of Hark, the second book, and in the art at some point, you know, it looks like one of the illustrations you find a tied up beautiful lady. So maybe, you know, maybe there's some adventure there.
Chad, do you fucking hear yourself?
And in another illustration, you save the lady, mm-hmm. right? I'll post these on the Discord. You save the lady, but she still keeps her fucking, like, bandages and mouth wrap on. Like, the guy was like, no time. I gotta pull you along, hot lady, but you can't talk.
Yeah?
I don't know what to make
of it. So, in our mind, canonically, you died at the bottom of an 8 or deeper foot pool of green water that was unbearably hot.
No, the screaming bear killed us. That was our final death.
No, we turned into the sunstone.
I still think the friendly dog, the playful dog kill was the
better,
most...
That was the better... That was a better death. I take it back.
The friendly dog kill was the most bamboozling.
At least in that death, a dog had a good time.
Well, at least you guys promoted yourself beyond tourist to an amateur adventurer.
That's true. We did get prestige, which is all that matters to me.
He was really talking up the maze. Like, I thought that was going to be like the final set piece, but
yeah.
It probably took him a lot of work to make sure the page is connected. Like, he probably had to at least make sure that you can get out of it.
I don't
right?
think it did take him a lot of work. I don't think RL has done a lot of work at all.
This is the darkest year for Goosebuds.
And somehow our esteem for RL drops further.
All right, well, I think that's an adventure. Thank you again so much, T, Bram, and Brad, for sending this over. I will hold on to Invaders of Hark for when we feel like we're ready for another adventure. I mean,
we'll do it.
Yeah, I'm down to do it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to be mad about it, but we're going to do it.
But, you know, if you're listening to this show and you want to help guide the course of what we're doing, for example, after our last episode... saw quite a few people suggesting, hey guys, maybe you deserve a vacation and do a P&P.
Oh man.
You know, like
it sounded so wistful when you said that.
I know exactly the episode I want us to watch too.
Yeah. Is it one where they get stuck in a maze?
It's the pilot. We should watch the pilot. The pilot's really cute.
I'm down.
It looks like the way to win this book.
Chad, we're doing the outro.
I finally found it. It's option page 13. And it seems like it required you to let yourself get bitten by a snake. If you want to support the show, guide our hand or what we cover next. Get access to our cool exclusive Discord. And also get access to bonus monthly episodes of Camp Goosebuds, where we just hang out around the digital campfire. You can go to patreon.com/goosebuds. It is the number one way to support this show. Is why we've been able to do it for 10 years. We are greatly, greatly indebted to all of you who support the show and listen.
Yeah, thank you.
Patreon.com/goosebuds. Kevin.
I'd like to promote a show I do with my friends Chad and Paul called Goosebuds. It's a little show where we're a group of friends and we give young adult horror books and the works of R.L. Stine the hard-hitting critique they deserve. Despite the fiction that this has exposed me to, it has been an excellent thing in my life because our community is really good and I like hanging out with my friends. So if you want to support my endeavors there, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/goosebuds.
I too would like to suggest that you take the path northward in this maze and check out the podcast Goosebuds. And just keep looping back around through that dirt tunnel back into the show, please.
I love that. Go check out Pretend Friends if you somehow have not listened to Pretend Friends. It doesn't even have to be the Hark episodes, though. I think they're great.
Yeah.
I had a blast playing Hark with you guys in that show.
The Hark episodes like have some real like big lore implications in both seasons 1 and 3.
Thank you all for listening. Boys, any other final words or thoughts?
North.
I was going to say it. Always use cardinal directions.
Oh, no. You're trapped in the maze. No! Go.
My favorite character was Weedhole.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
I'm going to go get some Domino's.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Goosebuds was brought to you by our lovely patrons who we enshrine here in our Book of Names.
The Book of Names.
Starting with Stefan, Jive, Turkey, Kuwabara,
Low Belly, Hate Me,
Hollis, Hornbeak,
Cameron, Murphy, Audio,
Michael, Mick, Dowell,
Hey Josh Rob,
Mickey C,
Nathan Dolezal,
Mike Lanteri,
Buddy Morrill,
Alcade,
Mel Dipson,
Afshin,
Dango Twist,
Zentacles,
Stealth, a beautifully fleshed skeleton Bates,
Robert Moon,
Brian Wells,
Jason Crooker,
Clay Castle,
Miguel Pardo,
John Keaty,
Calf,
Rite Aid Sucks, and Bring Back Paranoia Shop. Neither of those things are ever coming back.
Well, Rite Aid is gone? They got rid of Rite Aid?
I don't know. I feel like Rite Aid's been, like, absorbed at this point. I could be wrong.
We're living in a Walgreens world.
Yeah.
The Juggalobalist.
Gregory D. Warren.
Cody Redfield.
Bradford Coulter.
Aiden is taking karaoke suggestions. Bang on my drum, Matthew Wilder.
The impression that I get.
Oh, I know.
My boss owns.
I said bang on my drum, Matthew Wilder. That I'm thinking of Philadelphia Man.
I love Philadelphia Man.
Todd Rundgren, Philadelphia Man, is banging on my drum. I was thinking of Breaking My Stride by Matthew Wilder. Ain't nobody
gonna break up my stride. Nobody gonna jar slinks.
Nice. Chosen One.
Leviathan.
Up and Champ.
Jonas Eggman.
Carl.
Anthony Mulberry.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Elusive Koala.
Yanni Markovina.
Brooke X.
Jesus Christ.
Christian Van Skyver.
Jeremy Lowe.
Brian Hobgood.
Zach Connor.
Patreon _ donator, comma, yo.
Joe Spooky Digital Ghost Tierney.
Tom Whittem.
Andrew Jadzak is now betrothed to the entity under the ice. Wedding will be held upstairs. Uh-oh.
Oh, we got an annex?
Well, I thought the upstairs area meant above the ice, but maybe we have a balcony.
Oh, boy, that's scary. That's a scary bit of lore building I didn't realize. Oops. Lord Cornwallis.
Carson Birkenbean.
Murphy P.
Sean Minogue.
Tevin Ticklebean's arrows tend to find nuts.
Wow. Threatening. That's the... Chad was reciting the emoji that was on the end of it with that.
Sound. Yeah, that was the E.
Rushy Glenn.
Wiggle it.
Luke LaFountain.
Chip Handsome.
Matt McClellan.
Tanya Turtle.
Alicia Grafe.
Juan Jalapena.
Keith Halcrow.
Timothy Misadolakis.
Clay McCarty.
Reinfected.
Ham _ but.
Raymond Hernandez.
The Crow Fens, but seasonal.
Matthew Sutton.
John Barber.
Jeff Coffey.
Kelsey Kinneman.
They go well together, Kinneman and Coffey. Russell Kasberg.
Xavier Jimenez Castillo.
Chris Putrakis.
Scotty Pippen.
Sarah Kemp.
Jonas Blotterman.
Flemily.
Tobias Clark.
Dungeon Kappa.
Ice Descendant Hamster. In the ice. Part of the ice.
Whoa!
That makes sense, though. That makes sense.
Yeah, we swapped the hamster and the entity for the wedding.
Annex Ascendant Hamster up in the annex playing Beyblades.
Zach Weir.
Limp Duck.
Meet Virginia.
Alex Moon, the robotic dog.
Joe Regular Name Scott.
Estamina, Lord of Paul's Pants.
Chris Phantasmal Nightclothes Bonnie Nelson.
Bonnie.
Luke Knoodles.
Streak.
Hugh Bolin.
Zambambino.
Kieran McNamara.
Diet Soda.
Lamb.
Jackie L.
Goldman Laguza.
A Pair of Scots.
Levi Kidder.
Getting Frisky in the Lobster Bisky.
David Gray.
For Sale, Infinite Jest, never read.
Damn.
A millennial. Damn. A millennial's obituary.
Damn. That's the sassing Paul's ever heard. Bryce Dury.
Matthew Bertotto.
Nathan Remick.
Jonas Ennevoldsen.
Needmore Kimchi.
Lee Wood.
Boney.
Reed Stubendieck.
Some of Chad's bird friends have left the Midwest and returned to the Northeast.
Wow.
Oh, they'll come back. Joe Gorman.
Joey Evans.
Burger's Wonderful World.
Nicholas Maloney.
Andre Villanueva.
Carewise Gamgee.
Eric Horwitz.
Tiffany Lee.
A wild, swaggy YOLO Squire appears.
Cameron Hansen.
Thomas Jancis.
Lucretia McEvil.
Mutant astronaut.
Henry Torbert. Ah!
Generally depressing.
The Deadly Bulb.
Bonergard Epsilon Hamilton, a.k.a. Hambone, host of Radio Bone Air.
Adam Knapp.
Ben Bohan.
Logan Dirt.
Brad Schmelzer.
Chick.
Tacky Tammy.
Anthony is out of fun names. Check out the Chronicles of the Avatar novels by F.C. Yi. Rise of Kyoshi is great. I don't know what any of that means, but sure.
I have that on my nightstand to read. I will, Anthony.
Neat.
Callum, Mr. Misfire West.
Mandy Nasty.
Skullaturan.
Calamity Carl.
Germ Deuce.
Eoplin.
Nick Johnson.
Philip Reynolds.
Nate Bit G.
Mr. You Grate 'em, I Grate 'em. Unimportant.
That was cool as hell. Boss Garrettson.
That's like a killer teacher.
Ryan R. Davis.
Scott Wabel.
Ryan Carroll.
Jeremy Bowser.
Rocco.
Omegal Bagel. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Megan McCormack Mason.
Megan.
Evdog.
Ninja Breadman.
Heloticus Frenchly.
Aaron Lloyd.
Llama Lad.
Dr. Chalk.
Keeping it simple. Greg Musto.
Robo Terrana.
SSJ Trojdor.
Yeah.
Hi, first time, long time.
Ellie Roos.
Street Caboons. Now we're just going to go Swedish with it.
It all boils down to Swedish Chef.
It all turns Swedish.
Ollie Sutz.
Mike Hart.
Mike Spaghetti Jones.
Cassandra Harris.
Gulliver.
Red Baron.
This next name is my favorite.
Big Nick Lane.
Kira and Brian are big fans.
I love how that works out.
Yeah.
Delta 8 made Steve Buscemi into a chili making god. What does that mean?
Is that weed? Are they talking about weed?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Delta 8 a kind of weed?
I don't know if that
Blake
makes...
Blake Cavan.
Soggy newspapers.
Chris Kulik.
Dakota Kemp.
John W.
Farrah Tuna.
Saturn Video.
Quest, comma, humbly asks whoever reads this for a goblin to grade. Oh, geez, man. I mean, you've seen them all.
We're running out of goblins, Quest. There's a limited amount of them.
Can't make them fast enough for you.
What about the Green Goblin as played by Willem Dafoe
Perfect.
In the Sony Spider-Man movies?
In a sense, every Willem Dafoe character is another variation of Goblin, so pick one of those.
Yeah, see, tell me if you think of the poor things Willem Dafoe, how he would be as a Green Goblin.
Franken Goblin.
Yeah.
Now Chad says Jesse.
Oh, so sorry. Jesse!
Chris Curto.
Cole Gleason.
Kiwi of Lerv.
Serial Killer X.
Jesse Boggs.
Michael Malloy.
Kyle O'Neill.
Kit Bush.
Sirison.
Dennis Wright.
Yover the Moon.
Cameron Gensveld.
Anthony Stoker.
Brony Danza.
Tan Your Hide.
Wonderskin.
Rat IRL.
Max de la Fontenelle.
Doglips _ Kojoyan.
Wonderskin again.
Joel Frostine's Ice Mega Church. We're taking you down, Frostine.
Oh boy.
But thank you for your support.
That's a good name for an Ice Mega Church guy, is Frostine.
Yeah, it's like our antagonist for sure.
I like him a lot. Like, I might twitch. Matt Scepter.
don't go to their church? Greg Gervasi, aka Vita Zed.
Paul Sentient, my buddy doll, returns.
Hurt, aka Cyber Bully.
Kevin said heaven can't be found after 7. Tonight at 11. Crap.
I'm tired.
Anthony Rodriguez.
B.
Blarbin.
Vindictus, the patron of decision books.
Ooh. We met him. Jeff, parentheses, big baby, and his wife, parentheses, not a big baby.
Odin's eye hole.
Ugh. It's just old, soggy. Yeah,
it smells gross.
Yeah.
S.
Logan Kilgus.
Creature of the office. Boss Feratu.
Starship 9.
Turaku, the thing that goes doink in the anime.
Doink. Spencer Y.
Greb Bomix.
Whoa.
A ship.
Comics that are Bomix.
Shadowheart Gun D Tyrannosaurus.
Canadian ghoul learning Mandarin, their third language.
Whoa. Damn, I don't even have one.
What? Yes, you do, Chad.
Captain Billy Beard Myers.
R.I.P. Adam Teteris, friend of the show, had no fear and thus did not burn at the touch of Man-Thing, but was shot dead by John Darnielle dressed as...
As what?
As?
We'll never know. But John Darnielle always appears dressed as someone you love.
Tune in next month to find out who it is.
He takes the form of someone familiar with you, like the alien from Contact.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just dressed as LOD.
Kumquat Behavior Podcast.
Clint Deer King.
Agents Miskatonic.
Nail 7.
Angelo Edward Longton Santone.
Smelodies.
3 a.m. Sleep.
Spencer Leith Johnston.
Ben Sawyer.
Caleb Snyder kept forgetting to change his name.
Lumo Nuva.
Brian Udath.
Bob Cabbage.
Herpy Derpy drowns in dumb as shit sauce. Rip.
Jay Farr wants to know, does this riot bus stop at Ice Church?
Riot bus!
Riot bus. Just drive straight into the Ice Church. We have an open air entrance for you.
Riot bus for life.
Jolly old Jules.
Number one gnome.
Nowhere Lucas.
Brian Sturup.
The Shrekronomicon.
C.L. Reagan.
Ryan Coyle.
Justin.
MC Wright.
Taylor Garofalo.
Jaybird.
Nintendo 60 Jorts.
Tickass Biddies 007.
Nat _ Noah.
Jorge Raya Navarro.
Jacob Leach. Sorry, I was distracted by the next name. Jacob Leach.
Mimal the Delph.
Jim Corey.
Daniel Lavelle.
Quinn.
Jackie Bay.
Olympia Streets.
Oh, Spaghetti the Yeti.
And now we welcome in new blood to the Book of Names and new acolytes into the Ice Church. Lee Murphy, which way does your cup flow?
Tootin Watson, I hope your cup tilts upwards.
Hi, Wyvern.
Carly Beth's parents, 808. We know you weren't allowed to sign Carly Beth up unless she had free reign to go to the annex and play Beyblades.
And welcome, Steamed Ham. I hope if you're steaming, you keep yourself off the ice and on a nice, like, heating pad.
Touch the ice.
Thank you also very much for your love and support.
Thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.